The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Amen. You know, Ecclesiastes 3 tells us He is making everything beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So when is our time? Well, it's today. He's among us. He's ministering and manifesting beauty in us today. It's really good to see you all and those online this morning as we continue and conclude today our series where we are looking at our identity as a church. And in the last few weeks we've been considering our values. What are our core values? Those that were identified a little while ago by the leadership team of Rangeville. We've seen that we are a church of loving relationships. We are kingdom minded. We want to see God's kingdom come, His will done on earth. We want to see life and healing and restoration and salvation. We want to see the kingdom manifest. We want to be attractive to people and attract people to Christ through our authenticity, being an authentic church. And finally, fourthly, we are a servant-hearted people and a servant-hearted church. That's our theme for today. Now, all of us are either Aussies or in an Aussie culture. And, you know, the Aussie culture has certain distinctives, one of which is that we are fairly egalitarian. We don't really stand on ceremony. We don't have much time for people who like to big note themselves. My dad in particular had a pathological dislike of poses, he used to say, and I used to wish he didn't vocalise that when he was around people. But that's the way of the world, isn't it? People like to put themselves in a position of being superior and being puffed up. Now, it's true in the West. We have our class system, among other things. It's true in the East. We have, for example, in India, there's a caste system. I used to have a close workmate who it was difficult for him when he was working with other Indian people of a higher caste. It created challenges for him. And Jesus addressed this in Matthew 20. He said, in the world we create these social hierarchies where we like to lord it over people. We like to feel superior, puffed up. We demand respect without giving respect. We treat other people like servants. That's the way a hierarchy works in the world. But the Lord goes on to say, don't throw out the hierarchies because actually they have a purpose. God created them. The kingdom of God is a hierarchy. The difference is in the kingdom of God or in the heavenly hierarchy, those higher up are the servants of those under their care. The greatest of all will be the servant of all, Jesus said, and he is our model of this. In Mark 10, Jesus describes himself as the Son of Man. This is a prophetic term, I believe, in the book of Daniel. He's saying, I'm the fulfillment. I'm here. But I'm not here to be served. I'm here to serve you, to lay down my life, to bear your sins. You know, I don't particularly like it when people correct me or rebuke me. My reaction, one way or the other, is to find a bit of an excuse, to rationalize, to maybe try and explain myself away, to be defensive. The Lord Jesus Christ, He took ownership of all of our sins. He didn't rationalize them or excuse them or explain them away. He took ownership of them for us. And He also bore our sorrows, our griefs, our sicknesses, our pains, it says, I believe, in Matthew. Paul tells us we need to have a similar mindset. We need to have that heart of Christ who lowered himself. No one could lower themselves further than he did, from the throne of heaven to being a servant of all, to be in the place of giving respect to all, because a servant is always respectful. And as Rod shared, Jesus modeled this for his disciples, for us, in the final Passover meal with his disciples. We're told he took off his outer garments and then he girded himself. He dressed himself as a servant to wash feet, which were not considered clean in the culture because they walked in the dust of the earth, and he dried them with the girding. He girded himself as a servant. Now, of course, Jesus is glorified. The right hand of the Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we see him beautifully glorified in Revelation 1, but still girded. In a sense, he's still dressed for service. He stands at the Father's right hand, speaking blessing, provision, healing for us. He continues to serve us today. Revelation. You know, it's book number 66 in the Bible. And there were about 40 authors over 1,500 years who wrote the Bible. That's a lot. But behind all of the authors was an author, wasn't there? And I love the way he tells the stories of ordinary people. But within them, he puts new layers of meaning, profoundness. And maybe the best example is Abraham. Abraham, we know, and Sarah waited and waited, didn't they, for the fulfillment of God's word that he'd deposited in their heart. Like many people in Rangeville today, I believe, who have a word in the heart, and you're waiting to see that fulfilled. And the Holy Spirit is saying, he will. God will fulfill his word to you in the right season. For Abraham and Sarah, that season came. Isaac was born. He grew up, I believe. He came of age. And then the Lord said to Abraham, Abraham, take the son that you love. That's the first time love is used in Scripture. Take him to the mountain I will show you. And I want you to sacrifice him there. Abraham obeys. Amazing, isn't it? He obeys. He trusts God. He takes Isaac up the mountain. He's about to do what God said when the Lord intervenes. Abraham, Abraham, don't do it, God said. I now know that you honor me, you revere me, you love me because you did not withhold your only son. And of course, in these two ordinary lives, the author is telling us something about God the Father, God the Son. I believe it was probably the same mountain where Jesus was crucified. The Father did not spare his only son. And so we can say, Father, I am absolutely sure that you love me because you didn't withhold your only son from me. Now the story continues, and we're told Abraham and his servants go back down the mountain. That's funny, I didn't realize there were servants. And where is Isaac? Well, the author has edited him out of the story for the moment. We don't see him again until later. That's for a purpose. In the meantime, Abraham has a role or a job for his most trusted servant, whom is not named here, but his role is to find a wife for Isaac. So the servant travels. He prays. He finds Rebecca. He adorns her with beautiful jewelry. He provides her beautiful clothing and he brings her to his master's home. And then she is presented before Isaac as a bride, beautifully adorned. This is next when we see Isaac, when the bride appears to him face to face. Now the servant is not named, but many scholars believe he is mentioned earlier in Genesis. And his name is Eliezer, meaning God is my help. And that tells us he too is a picture, a type of the Holy Spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the helper, is in the world today gathering a bride for Jesus. And as we express the beauty of Christ through servanthood, we are in a sense being adorned by the Holy Spirit in beautiful arraignment for the wedding day that is described in Revelation. We will next see the Lord face to face, we're told, when we're caught up to be with him at that last trump. And the picture of the wedding, Revelation 19, we see the bride is dressed in beautiful linen that stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. We see a beautiful picture of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit and the Church. And how does the Holy Spirit reveal himself or typify himself in Scripture? There is a theme in Scripture that runs through much of the stories in the Old Testament called the unnamed servant. Where an unnamed servant has a particular role, we don't notice him very much because who notices a servant? We notice the heroes. In the beautiful story of Ruth, we see the hero Boaz, this godly Jewish man. He looks across the field and there's a beautiful woman there. He doesn't recognize her. She's not Jewish. He asks a servant and the servant explains who this is. This is Ruth. I believe that Boaz is a picture for us of Christ, Ruth, the church, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the unnamed servant. Telling us something profound or reinforcing a truth for us. You know, if someone were to ask you, tell me about your God, what is he like? I'm sure you could rattle off a list of superlatives. He's beautiful, his holiness, his righteousness. He dwells in unapproachable light. He is the Alpha and the Omega. First and the last, he is the creator of all. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Prince of peace. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He's God and true. But what is he like? How does he reveal his heart to us? He is a humble servant. A servant who would lower himself more than anyone else could to treat all with respect and to lift all. He is gentle and humble in heart. This is the God who inspires songs of praise, who draws songs and praise of praise from our hearts as we are in awe of him. This is the God who created hierarchies also. And above you and I, in the hierarchy, are holy angels, mighty angels. What does Hebrews tell us about them? Are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve? They're our servants, you and I. You know, I love the book of Proverbs. And I have some favourite Proverbs, maybe you do too. My absolute favourite is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, it says, doesn't it? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will establish your paths, make them secure, firm, direct your paths. Have you ever noticed there's a link between this proverb and Psalm 91, that beautiful psalm of protection? If we compare this with the verses 11 and 14 of Psalm 91, what do we see? Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He trusts in me. We do that as we walk with him in faith, when we're not being anxious or afraid, because that suggests we're trusting in ourselves or circumstances of life. But we trust in him. He commands his angels 24/7 to watch over us, to guard us in all our ways as our servants. And of course, when we pray to God the Father, it is normally as Father, isn't it? Abba, Father, Jesus called him. But there are times when we come together corporately, for example, Prayer Watch that Bob Henderson is now leading, and we pray to the God of angel armies, warrior angels, whom the Lord puts at our service. There's an amazing story in the Old Testament of Elisha the prophet. I'm sure you know it. Elisha is a prophet full of prophetic insights and prophetic intel, actually, and he's providing intel to the king of Israel, his king. Intel against the king of Aram, who has military designs on Israel, but they keep getting foiled because the king of Israel knows in advance what he's going to do. Now, the king of Aram learns that this is because of the prophet Elisha, so he sends a mighty armed force to surround the town where Elisha's staying. Elisha's helper wakes up that morning, looks out, sees this army, and he has an absolute panic attack. He's about to melt down, as you would do. Elisha's not bothered. He just prays a very simple prayer, "Lord, open his eyes." The servant suddenly sees chariots of fire, warrior angels all around them that dwarf this little army of the king of Aram. Warrior angels, our servants. Elisha's a mighty prophet. There were many mighty prophets who did incredible deeds, who prophesied about Jesus. What does 1 Peter say? It was revealed to them they were not serving themselves but you, servants of the church. Now, the church itself was established on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ as the cornerstone. What do we learn about the apostles? What do they have to say about their identity? Let's ask Paul and James and Peter and Jude. Paul, a servant. James, a servant. Simon, Peter, a servant. Jude, a servant. They all identified as servants, didn't they, of Jesus Christ and also of you and I, of people, others. Paul called himself the servant of all in 1 Corinthians 9. "I'm free. Jesus has set me free," Paul said, "but I choose willingly to enter servanthood so that I might win more to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a servant. That's who I am at heart." Don't we have an amazing set of examples here? And we belong to an amazing family. You know, some people are born into a family of actors. There are acting families around. There are sporting families. There are artistic families. There are families of politicians. You and I, we are born into a family of servants. That's the family business. When we serve, when we express the beauty of Christ within us, we are in fact expressing our identity. There's a freedom in that. There's something that comes alive in us when we serve, because the true us is coming forth. That's why it's so important that we do serve. And as we do, as we saw in Revelation, the church itself is being adorned in beauty, isn't it? Rangeville Community Church, who has the most authority here humanly? Well, that would be Andrew. Do you know anyone who serves longer hours than Andrew? I don't. Do you know anyone who is more respectful than Andrew? I don't. And when Andrew places himself in the position of respecting all, he's putting himself in the role of a servant, isn't he? And that's the beautiful example we have. And each of us, well, we have been given special enablings, we're told. 1 Peter, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace." And so we are all enabled to serve. We have a servant's heart and we have giftings to help us do that effectively. Now, we're all different. We have different passions. We have different talents, different interests, different giftings. But we are all called to serve, and we are all serving the same Lord. If you are not currently serving at Rangeville, I encourage you to talk to Andrew or one of the leaders. They will listen to your heart, find out your passion, and I can guarantee they will find you a place to serve at Rangeville. So it is no wonder, therefore, when the leaders or the elders and leaders of Rangeville thought about our identity, that they identified that we are a servant-hearted church, because we're a servant-hearted people. So how does our servant heart manifest? There are three particular ways that the leaders unpack for us. The first is through giving. We give our time, our talents, our resources, our finances, our prayers, our encouragement. Now, encouragement is a really big one, isn't it? There are times, particularly after speaking, I feel like a little bit of a wilted flower, and a bit of encouragement seems to perk me right up. I really appreciate that. How else do we manifest our servant heart? We do it through the culture and environment we create. Rangeville is a safe, respectful and hospitable community of believers. Hospitality is a very beautiful way to express a servant heart, isn't it? And so many people in Rangeville are very hospitable and very intentional. Now, just recently, Sandra and I were invited to the home of Ray and Marilyn Moore, Ray and Marilyn. And they have a beautiful gift of hospitality. We were there with Ken and Alison Green, who were here in the first service. They were very intentional, and many people are. Every week, of course, people open up their homes for life group. And people bring along food and have a time of fellowship. Every week we have our hospitality team serving us in the foyer. Hospitality is a beautiful way to express a servant heart. And respectfulness, well, that's critical for an environment in which a servant heart can grow and be expressed. Did you notice in the beautiful story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, their little preamble, the words that preceded him taking off his outer garment? Let's have a look at those. Jesus, knowing without any doubt that the Father had given him all things, he was from God. He knew who he belonged to. He was going to God. He knew where he was going. Jesus had an established identity. And out of that identity, out of that security, he served. Now, you know, the scripture says the same about you and I as it does about Jesus. We're told in more than one place, here in Corinthians, all are ours. Everything is yours in Christ. He, after all, is the bridegroom. We are the bride. Everything that is his is ours. We are of Christ. We belong to him. He is of God. We have that same identity and security as he does, but it is critical that the environment we're in reinforces that truth. It's in the environment of respectfulness that we build and grow a servant heart. If you've ever been treated with disrespect, that will damage your identity. And I do believe there's a word from the Holy Spirit today just to reassure you that was never him. He would never disrespect you. And that is never the manifestation of a servant heart. A servant heart will never disrespect you. The Lord Jesus, speaking through Paul, tells us we need to excel as believers. How should we excel? In our strength, in our feats? No. Romans 12:10, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Excel in showing respect to one another. That's how we build a servant-hearted community. Treat others as better than ourselves. That establishes identity. Secondly, that was. And thirdly, how do we manifest a servant heart? By the environment we have of empowering, equipping, training and working together with one another. We empower one another. See, we all have a servant heart. We want to express that. But it helps to be equipped and trained and built up so that we can do it effectively. And notice the leaders also said we're an intergenerational church. That's more than a multi-generational church. The generations are interconnected, interdependent, and they support one another. If you're a young person, you might have a heart to see people set free. You don't like it when you see people carrying griefs and burdens. And so for you, maybe Freedom Life is something you could serve in. If so, a mature believer like Gail Harper or Brett Dodman will walk with you to empower you. Likewise, you might be an older member of Rangeville, but you have a heart and interest in tech. I suggest there's a good chance one of our young tech-savvy members will walk with you to empower you. The generations are interdependent. We support and empower one another. If you need prayer, we have our Nitro team who will pray for you. For physical healing, we have our mature prayers who will pray for other needs. We are a servant-hearted church. And actually, that's why the Lord created hierarchy in the church. The purpose of the hierarchy is for empowering and equipping. We're told that in Ephesians 4, that those higher roles, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, they're there to equip us so we can serve more effectively. And when the word is preached, or when we read the Bible or do a devotional, we're told that the scripture, which is God breathed, is teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that you and I, the servant, are equipped for every good work. Equipped so that we can be effective as a servant-hearted church. As I've been preparing, I've had in my heart a picture of a person. And this person that I see is a little bit bowed down by life. See, they've been hurt, sometimes rejected, disrespected. They do not have a strong sense of self-esteem or identity of security. But one Sunday morning, through certain circumstances, they've arrived here at Rangeville Community Church. They get out of the car, someone sees them and thinks, I do not know that person. So they walk over, introduce themselves, walk them to the door where they're greeted. They're shown the auditorium doors inside. Again, they're welcomed and someone helps them find a seat. Before the service, in the prayer rooms, the pre-service prayer team have been praying blessing over visitors. They're welcomed. The worship team serves them. They've been here since 6 or 6:30 preparing for this ministry. The person who brings the word has been brooding on the word, and the Holy Spirit's been preparing their heart, knowing this visitor was going to come. There are prayers ready to pray for that person. And of course, in all of this, the Holy Spirit has been active. How else did they find themselves at Rangeville? He was there with the person who greeted them, and at the door, and in the auditorium. He was there in the hearts of the worship team, the prayers, the person who brought the message. That unnamed servant was there all along. And there are holy angels stationed here. Holy angels, I believe, who were also stationed along the journey that this person took, and ours as well, to ensure we arrived safely. Mighty angels ministering, protecting. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand is speaking to the Father. Father, I love this person with all of my heart. Everything I have, I've given for them. May they know how much they are valued and loved. May this be established in their identity. See, this person coming into Rangeville probably feels like the most insignificant person here. I don't know anyone. But the truth is, they're the VIP of Rangeville Community Church. All heaven is at their service. All Rangeville is at their service, because we are a servant-hearted church. That's who we are, isn't it? That's what we do. The Lord is making everything beautiful in its time. But when is my time? You know, I believe the Holy Spirit is here this morning in a very special way to do what he does, which is to serve, to minister to hearts who have been waiting to see the manifestation, to see the beauty manifest in their lives. It manifests through a servant heart. But Lord, I've been hurt through disrespect, and he knows that, and he's here to minister to people today who have been hurt that way, to reassure you of your identity and that he would never disrespect you. But Lord, I'm tired. I've been serving, I've been faithful, and I'm weary. He understands that, and he's here today to refresh your heart, your spirit. But Lord, I'm afraid. Life is insecure and the world is insecure. Again, he understands that. He wants to assure you he has assigned heavenly angels to watch over you. I believe he wants to minister to us this morning in our seats, but I also sense an invitation this morning. I feel that unusual sense of the Lord calling. If you need ministry, please come forward. The servants of the house will pray for you. Our Nitro children who have that beautiful, simple faith in the Lord Jesus who bore our sicknesses and our pains and our sorrows, they will pray for you. So let's meditate on the message. Let's take a minute of silence, and then I'll close and finish the service. But for those who are receiving ministry and are aware of that in your hearts, please feel free to remain. It might be happening in your home if you're watching online. Please feel free just to sit in this atmosphere and allow the Holy Spirit to do what he loves to do, which is to serve you and to serve me. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're here. You're here among us this morning to minister your grace. You're here to minister to hearts who have been waiting to see beauty manifest in their lives, in their circumstances. You're here to minister to the hearts of those who have had their identity hurt. You're here to minister refreshment to those who are tired, encourage to those who are afraid. Thank you for your servant heart, Father. And thank you for Rangeville Community Church, that we are a church of loving relationships, of kingdom-minded, authentic, servant-hearted people. And we love to serve, Heavenly Father. May we grow in service. As Rangeville grows, may we grow in that beautiful ministry and outworking of service. As we do, may we adorn your church for the wedding day, which is coming soon. May we go out today knowing that your holy angels are watching over us. You have given them a charge, and we need not be afraid. May we go forth with confidence, Father, this day. And for those, Father, whom you're ministering into hearts this morning, may that ministry continue after the service ends, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 361 144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.